Good morning. You're listening to KHNS, Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We have a special call-in forum with candidates for Haines School Board this hour. I'm Emily Files, and joining me are candidates Mike Wilson, Sarah Chapel, and Inez Gross. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And a couple things before we get started. First of all, we've had some technical problems this morning with our microphones, so we're hoping that they're going to work just fine, but if they don't, we'll just go to music and try to figure it out. Also, in interest of full disclosure, Sarah works at KHNS as development director. Her job is completely separate from the news department. So, in the upcoming October election, there are three seats opening on the Haines School Board. With three candidates, it's an uncontested race. Sarah Chapel is finishing up her first three-year term on the board. Mike Wilson was appointed to an empty seat last year, and both are looking to continue their service as school board members. And Inez Gross is a school board newcomer. Although it is an uncontested race, two of the seats the candidates are running for are three-year seats, and one is a two-year seat. The two candidates with the most votes will get the three-year seats, and the one with the least amount of votes will get the two-year seat. All right, let's get started. I'd like to hear from all of you about why you're running for school board and also just a little bit about yourselves. Let's start with Mike.
Good morning. I am running for the school board because I believe in public education, and I believe it's a service that is very important. And I have been involved in public schools since 1971 and prior to that all my schooling when I was a young man. And going back to why I'm running, I just think that this is a really good district. It has lots and lots of good things going on, and I want to help continue to improve that.
Thank you. Sarah?
Well, as Emily said, I'm finishing up my first term as a school board member. I've been on the school board for 3 years, and I'd like to continue to serve on the school board. I have three children in the Haines School District, and as a parent, I've had an opportunity to see education up close in Haines. We have a really strong school district, which I'm very proud of. But every school could use improvement, and I think our school board members do a really good job of asking questions and working to make the school the best it can be. We, in my opinion, still have some room for growth, and I'm really committed to helping that process move forward. So I'm excited to work on the school board for several more years, and I guess we'll get into the issues in a little bit.
Sure. Inez?
Good morning. Last year, there were a couple positions that people were appointed to for the school board, and I had thought about running at that time, but I didn't. So this year, since there were three positions and only two people were going to run, I thought I would give it a try. And also, my daughter is on the school board, and I was planning on attending the meetings this year anyway, so I thought I would give it a try. And I've lived here most of my life, all of my life. I have two kids that have gone through the Haynesboro School from K through 12. I have a senior this year, and I have grandsons starting kindergarten next year.
Great. Thank you all. So what qualities do you have that you feel are important for a school board member to have? And this time we'll start with Sarah.
Okay. Well, I would say I'm organized. I'm a good listener, and I'm not afraid to ask tough questions. And that that ability to ask the questions and then really listen to what the answers are, I think, is really imperative in a public official. At on the school board level, there's a lot that happens that's not at the school board level, right? So teachers are teaching, administrators are, you know, holding everything together, and the school board's job is to make sure that that our budget reflects our goals and our values as a district. And I think that in the last few years, I've gotten better about asking the right questions to make sure that the decisions we make are really moving us towards the goals that we've laid out.
Mm-hmm. Inez?
I feel like, for me, that should any parents or students have concern, that I'm very approachable and I'm a good listener. So I'm excited to get started, should I make it on there.
Great. Mike?
Well, I do think I'm a good listener, and I like to bring people who are directly involved in a problem together and see if we can find solutions. I think it's important to understand students, the community, the teachers, and have them work together to create a stronger school.
Thank you. And I just want to remind listeners that this is a call-in forum. If you have a question for these school board candidates, you can call us at 766-2020 and talk to the great staff who are helping out, and they will write your question down for me to ask the candidates. All right, so I want to ask you guys what some things are that you think the school board has done well in the past, and also if there's anything you think the board could do better. So let's start out with what you think the school board has done well. And we'll start with Inez.
I'm really not ready to answer that question.
Okay, sure. Mike?
I think the district has done well in helping the students that are here to grow and to mature and to make good decisions. But that can always be improved upon as well. I'm concerned that communication might be somewhat of a stumbling area, and I would hope that again the community and the teachers and administration can all come together and work together.
Could you say a little more about how you think communication could be improved?
I think that any time there's a decision, you have to have all parties involved in that decision. And I think when we do the superintendent search, one of the things we're looking for is a person who has those communication skills and will reach out to all parties to make it a better decision, thus a better school district.
Okay. Is there anything that you would point to specifically in the year that you've been on the school board where you feel like teachers, administrators, students, parents should have been more included in the communication?
Well, I think that that in some cases, perhaps some input from the teachers might have been helpful. And again, the community, we need to find a way so that the community and the teachers and the students and the staff have a way of communicating those issues or thoughts or concerns. We also need to hear about what good things are going on in the school district.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, Sarah, what you think the school board has done well in the past and what you think could be improved?
Well, a couple of things that I'm proud of over the last few years, and I think Mike knows this too. It's all a work in progress, and so everything I think of, as soon as I think of it in my head, I think, well, that could be better, you know. But one thing I am proud of is we worked on our strategic plan over it took us about a year to come to nail down a renewed strategic plan. And I thought we did a really good job of encouraging community members to join us in that process, listening to them, and then really distilling down some goals that that were achievable and that made sense. So it wasn't just a bunch of words on paper. It was actually a guiding document for our district, which it's not always easy to get something like that accomplished where people can actually, where anybody could read it and say, okay, I understand where the school district is going, and then as a school board, figure out how to take us there. So I'm pretty proud of that. I also think we're getting better at drilling down into the budget and making that process more transparent. That has the budget was it was very complicated to me when I the first year that I looked at it, and I didn't understand a lot of things. And sometimes I think having new school board members or new members in general who are looking at budgets is really helpful, because it forces us to answer questions that may seem obvious to people who have been doing it for a long time. And so I feel like the school board is doing a better job at taking a hard look at the budget and really figuring out what we need in order to accomplish our goals, and if there is any excess or unnecessary spending, ferreting that out as well. It's definitely, I would say, the number one challenge that we face as a district is declining enrollment and budgetary restrictions. We were relieved that through the state legislative process in the last session that we didn't lose ground with the legislature, but we are definitely facing an uphill battle. And in keeping our district adequately funded and being able to support our students and our teachers in a way that that's adequate, it's going to be complicated. We are losing students. We're losing enrollment every year. And the way we're funded by the state of Alaska, we get funding for each student we have enrolled in the district comes with an allocation from the state. So the fewer students we have, the less money we have to work with. And at some point, you start to lose critical mass. And that's the real challenge we face as a district, is to figure out how to do that well. And that's why I think that making the budgetary process as open and transparent as possible is very, very important as we move forward. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about superintendents. So right now the school district has an interim superintendent, Rich Carlson. He took over after former superintendent Ginger Jewell unexpectedly quit about 1 year into her job. So how do you think the board can ensure the hire of a long-term superintendent? And we'll start with Sarah.
Well, unfortunately, I think we can never ensure that we've hired a long-term employee, and that's just sort of the way it goes. When you hire somebody, you're taking a chance. And I think what we can do is to make our best possible effort in the hiring process, which I would say we really did our best with hiring Dr. Jewell. We had an open process. The community members at large and teachers and administrators were very involved in the hiring process. But this year, we really wanted to step back and figure out how to do an even better job. And so we did make the kind of big decision to contract with the Alaska Association of School Boards to manage our hiring process for the superintendent. That's not a free process. You know, we're spending several thousands of dollars to make that happen. But I really believe that having some outside influence helping us work through to really figure out what we're looking for in a superintendent is going to be important. And it's going to help really clarify the process when we do get down to the point of looking at applications and interviewing people. I hope that we will do an even better job of looking to the public and getting their input throughout the process. And in fact, if folks are interested in putting in their two cents early in the process, there's a very simple survey that's available on the HBSD.net website right now that asks just one question, and that question is, what qualities would you like to see in your next superintendent? It's really easy to fill out, and it's going to guide our process as we move forward. The school board is meeting on Tuesday, and for a sort of five-hour brainstorming session to distill down these questions. And so your input that you give us today is going to be part of that process on Tuesday.
And the public is also invited to attend on Tuesday?
Absolutely. It starts at 4 p.m.
So that's September 29th at 4 p.m. at the school. And all right, so let's go to Inez. What do you think the board could do to ensure the hire of a long-term superintendent?
Right off, I agree with what Sarah said. There is a lady named Timmy that is representing the group Sarah mentioned, but I cannot.
Alaska Association of School Boards.
Yes. I think time is having her help and then or her organization help is good. And also time is on our side. We don't have to rush into it. We can kind of take our time and be actively looking for a new superintendent.
So you agree with that choice to spend $7,000 to hire the consultant from AASB to help with the search?
Yes.
Okay. And are there any qualities that you feel like are especially important for the district to look for in the next superintendent?
I really don't know right off.
Okay. Will you be attending that Tuesday workshop?
Unfortunately, I won't. I will be in Juneau that day.
Okay. All right, Mike, what do you think about the superintendent hiring process?
I think what Sarah has said and Inez has said, too, is, you know, there's a process in place, and we're just at the beginning of that process, and there's opportunity for, again, the community, the teachers, students, maybe to have some input into this whole process, which we need that input. I just want to point out that Timmy, I can't think of her last name, from AASB, is guiding us through this process. And that's important to understand that they're not making the decisions here. They're just helping us guide and putting what we think we are looking for together and present a package that is out there. I think by hiring Rich at this time as the interim superintendent was a very important step in that. That allowed us to take the time to create the search and find the person that will best fit the superintendent role. If that search should be very successful, the new superintendent could start as early as, I believe it's February 1st, but it may run and take us longer to find the person we think can fill that, and that person would then start July 1st of next year.
And so the same question I had for Inez, are there any qualities that you feel like are especially important for the board to be looking for in the next superintendent?
There are many. But I think, first of all, this person should be a very good communicator and able to take ideas, to include groups, to make good decisions that impact their students, and they become very accessible. I think this person really needs to have a thorough knowledge of the budget and how Alaska laws and regulations dealing with schools take place. I think that it's important that our superintendent be seen in the community and be a part of the community, active in the community. And that would be a start for what we were looking for. And there are many other qualities that we're going to sort out here in the next few days.
Okay. Sarah, do you want to answer that one?
Sure. Well, everything that these guys said, yes, I agree with that. I think in Haines, we expect our the leaders in our school to be part of the school. We really think of our school as a family, and we want to see our superintendent at the at the basketball games and track meets and walking the halls and, you know, developing personal relationships with our students. And that's not every superintendent, you know, and in bigger districts, there's much more of a separation between the superintendent and, say, the principal in the school. And so I would like to see someone who wants to be a part of the school, but also understands that separation and is able to help guide our district in a way, like Mike was saying, that really brings people together. So so a leader, a visionary that's able to take the ideas and opinions of our community and move us forward as it sounds kind of cheesy, but as a family, I think we want to be I think we want to come together again as a group and move forward.
Thank you. Next, we're going to talk about technology, but first we're going to take a short break and let the candidates just take a breath. So we'll be back in a couple minutes. Good morning. It is 10:27. You're listening to special election coverage on KHNS. I'm Emily Files, and I'm joined by the candidates for Haines School Board, Inez Gross, Sarah Chapel, and Mike Wilson. So we're just going to get back to it. And you listeners, you can call in if you have any questions for the candidates. Our number is 766-2020. All right. So last year, the school board approved expanding technology one-to-one in grades 5 and up. That means each student in those grades has their own laptop, and the board approved buying more laptops and iPads for the younger grades, as well as digital whiteboards for classrooms. Do you think that was the right decision? Why or why not? And we're going to start with Mike.
Yes, I do think it was the right decision. I think that there's a need in the community to make sure that our students have access to the internet that helps in learning. And I think there are things that dealing with technology that our teachers can enhance their own teaching by using the technology. So I really support that. I think that in the long run, it's better to have our kids prepared than trying to catch up. I know in Alaska, they're trying to make every effort that students across the state have that capability of using technology, and we need to be with that program.
Inez?
Yes, I agree. It was a good idea. It just seems to be the way of the world right now, and as long as it's in moderation at the school, so the kids are just not plugged into it, and I don't believe that they're just plugged in from the start till the end. So it's good. Those are good skills for them to be learning to get out into the working world right now.
Thank you. Sarah?
Well, I was pretty worried about this this idea in the beginning. We called it engaging our future. And it felt a little slick and not necessarily like it was coming from the school, like it was coming from our educators. And but it wasn't an over the night decision. The school board really did spend a lot of time talking about it, thinking about it, talking to our educators, our teachers, and figuring out what we really needed in the school and what we didn't necessarily have to have. And so the proposal that we did go with, that we did pass, was really a compromise proposal that was the result of many, many months of talking and listening and trying to figure out what the most responsible course of action was. And so I do support that decision. I think we made the right decision. And what I've seen so far this year is a lot of what I personally was hoping was going to happen, that the technology available to our students is being used to enhance their classroom experience and to engage them in different ways. And I know just anecdotally, my third grader did something really fun where they used the smart board to Skype with another classroom. And that classroom, it's called Mystery Skype. And they had to ask each other questions back and forth to figure out where they were and then follow along with maps, physical printed out pieces of paper that where they got to X out states. And they figured out that these students were in Missouri, which, like, I would not know how to even ask a question that would get me to Missouri. So I thought that was pretty fun. And it was totally it was integrated into their curriculum and figuring out as they figure out maps and north and south and just all that kind of third grade stuff. So I was pretty excited to see one little example of it working well.
Mike? Oh, did he already? Did you already answer
did,
that one?
But okay.
Did you all three already answer that one?
Yeah. We did, but I'm reminded that we want to provide our students with skills that help them not only through their school years, but things that they might encounter in life and jobs, and technology is such a part of that. So we want to prepare them to meet the working world, and I think doing the things in our classrooms can lead us there.
Thank you. Do you think the school should have one-to-one technology in all grades, K through 12? Why or why not? Mike?
You made Mike go first last time.
I'm getting all mixed up in my order. Because you guys keep answering, I'll have two separate questions, and then you answer both of them in one answer. So, okay, Mike, you went first last time, so we'll start with Sarah.
Okay, great. Thanks. Okay, so what's the question? One-to-one?
Do you think that grades K through 12 should have one-to-one technology?
I'm not convinced that we need one-to-one for 100% of our students. When we looked at how we were really using technology in the school, we definitely saw that the middle elementary grades needed access to more actual computers. And right now, I feel like there's enough. There's enough iPads around so that if a teacher wants to take their students on a field trip to take pictures to document fall or do a particular project, that they have access to those. So I'm not convinced that we need one-to-one right now.
Okay, Inez?
I don't really feel that I have enough information on that, but offhand, I kind of want to say no, that they should not. Was that K through 5?
Right now it's 5 through 12 that has one-to-one.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. But the lower grades, I don't know that they need one-to-one right now. But my mind could be changed. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you. Now, Mike.
Thank you. I, on the other hand, support one-to-one, but that does not mean that any student in the lower grades, higher grades are going to be on using technology from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. What I think it means is they have access, and when appropriate, a teacher in kindergarten or first or second grade has that way to enhance a letter by or a lesson by using the technology that's there. So I would support the access of it, that we are about enhancing learning and making it a better opportunity for kids to learn.
Thank you. All right, we have a question from a listener. What do you think about incorporating the Chilkat Valley Preschool into the school building? So a little bit of context on this, the Chilkat Valley Preschool has been given a deadline to move out of their borough-owned building. And last year they were working on a contract with Superintendent Jewell and School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri to locate the preschool inside of the school building. The preschool is a nonprofit separate from the school district. So we will start with Sarah.
Okay. Some people might know this, but my children went to Chilkat Valley Preschool, and I was the president of Chilkat Valley Preschool for several years when they were there. I was really excited when Dr. Jewell and Anne-Marie started talking about, or I guess we reinstated the discussion about trying to integrate the preschool into the district. And I really support bringing early education, bringing preschool students into the school. I saw the preschool fundraising for a new building, and it seems like an awful lot of money to go into a small program. We're a small town, and we have Head Start, and Head Start does a great job of reaching many of our young people, but they don't have the capacity to educate all of our 3 to 5 year olds that want to go to school. And that's where Chilkat Valley Preschool comes in. So as a nonprofit preschool, they don't have as many of the federal guidelines or restrictions, so that when there's more children in the district that are preschool age, they can pretty easily hire more staff and educate all those children. So preschool access is available to all those students. And in other years where we don't have as many preschool students in town, they can contract again and make sure everybody who wants preschool education has access to it. If we were limited to Haynes Head Start, they don't have that ability to grow and shrink at will depending on demand, unless they can prove that the demand is a long-term thing. They can't just, you know, one fall say, uh-oh, like, we need another teacher because we need to integrate another dozen children into the program. And that means that many students, many young people in our district will be left out of the opportunity for preschool education. And so I think if the school district can work with the preschool and in a way that doesn't harm our K through 12 students. So if we have the room and the preschool can fit into the state guidelines and regulations that the school district has to fit into, then yes, I definitely want to see that happen.
Mike?
I think the concept is a very good one, and just like Sarah was just saying, if there's room, that we have the possibility of making that happen. I do think that there are a number of issues that just have to be resolved with the Chilkat Preschool and the school district. that it is not something that you can just say, okay, let's do it, open the door and do this. I think there's a lot of planning and discussions with the school and the school district to make this work for everybody. But I want to go back, if I may, Sarah, to something you said. You were talking about the students in the preschool would not be bringing extra additional funds to the school district. Is that's correct? I just wanted to clarify that.
The way the state of Alaska funding formula works, only the funding formula as it stands now is only K through 12. So those are students ages 5 and up.
Thank you.
That's part of the tension is that as a school district, we want to help. We want to make sure that every student comes into kindergarten ready to learn with the best possible foundation for that as possible. But we're not getting any additional funding to educate those children. And so figuring out how to make that work is a little bit of a challenge. And if we were it's a challenge, and especially because we do have Haynes Head Start, so we know that some students in the district are going to get what they need, and then the challenge is figuring out how do you make sure that everybody has that access.
Inez?
I don't feel that I have enough knowledge on this right now to make a good decision, so I'll pass.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Oh, did you have something to add, Mike? Okay. So what areas do you feel like the Haynes School District needs to improve that you think the school board could play a role in helping with that? And we will start with Inez.
I'll pass on this.
Okay. Mike?
Would you say the question again, please?
What areas do you feel the Haynes School District could improve where the school board could help?
I think that the school board can help by doing the things that make us good listeners and good problem solvers. That I think I would like to see the community and our teachers come together. This is a very good school district, and we're very fortunate. We live in this wonderful community of Haynes. This is important to help it grow as times change and do the things that we need to do. So I think it's communication, and I think we can have a central role in that area.
Sarah?
I agree with what Mike was saying earlier that communication as a district is definitely an area for improvement. And the school board in some ways has sort of a limited role in that because we don't do the day-to-day communicating with parents. But what we can do is help to set up a culture of inclusiveness and to set priorities and strategies for making sure that happens. And so communication, I think, absolutely is a very important goal for our district. We also can help set the bar in terms of academic rigor. We're going to be seeing some assessments come out from the new testing data that happened last spring that are not going to look as good as in years past. And that's not because our students suddenly lost interest in academics and dropped down, but the test itself is completely different than any test our students have taken before. We haven't seen the scores yet, but it's our understanding that they're not going to be as strong as what we've seen in the past. And that I think could be, it's going to be disconcerting, for us as parents to see that. And but I believe it's an opportunity for us as a district to take a hard look at how we're doing academically and really focus on where we can improve. And so I personally am looking at this as a chance for the district to refocus our efforts on academic rigor and make sure that each of our students is getting really what he or she needs.
Thank you. And maybe for you, Inez, as a parent of three students who have gone through the Haines School District, one who still is in the school district, was there anything that you found as a parent that you would have liked to see improved that you could speak to?
Offhand, nothing comes to mind.
Okay. All right. So another interesting issue, the school had a really significant turnover in staff this year. There are about 10 new teachers and staff members. Do you see that as a one-time occurrence or is something the district should be concerned about? Mike?
An interesting question. Yes, there was quite a bit of turnover this year, and as happens when new teachers come on board, they have to be given an opportunity to for growth, as all teachers do. I don't know that it is an additional concern right now for us that it happened. I think one of our staff retired, and I can't speak to why others might have left the district. No, I think that we keep abreast, and this we continue to make the school district someplace that teachers really want to come to, as our new superintendent as well.
Sarah?
Well, in a way, I was going to say we have to wait and see, but that's not quite good enough. I believe that this last year of turnover was specific to certain situations. We did see a number of our long-term teachers retire this past year, and so that's a big difference. And one of our teachers is taking a year off on a, it's not quite a sabbatical, but our high school science teacher is taking a year off. So that was another sort of natural turnover. So I hope that it's a one-time thing. It's my, I feel like turnover in the elementary school is more frequent than in our middle and high school. And that's something that we're definitely taking a closer look at in the district. We've, the administration has instituted a mentoring program this year so that experienced teachers are partnered with those new teachers as formal mentors throughout the year to help integrate them into the school, because that's I think as a school, as a small district, it's challenging to come in as a new person, because we only have one teacher for each grade. And so there's very little opportunity to network with your peers. It's not like you have three or four other third grade teachers to work with. You are the third grade teacher. And so I hope that this mentoring program that was put in place by the administration is going to help our new teachers feel like they're a part of the district and that they're working effectively more quickly than they would otherwise.
Thank you. Inez?
Could you repeat the question?
Sure, yeah. The school had a very significant turnover in staff this year. So do you see that as a one-time occurrence or something the district should be concerned about?
I kind of see it as a one-time occurrence. I remember when I was in junior high, we had a whole bunch of new teachers come in. I wasn't really aware of who was retiring or who was leaving, but we had a lot of new faces, so don't see it as a concern.
Okay, thank you. All right, so one thing that Sarah mentioned before is there is a declining enrollment in the district. One area that the school board has worked on in the past is trying to attract more homeschooled students into the district homeschool program. Do you think the school district should continue to work to draw more homeschooled Haines students into the district's program, and how could the district do that? Inez?
Yes, I think they should work on drawing more homeschool students in. I'm not sure exactly how they could do that. Definitely we'd need more economy. That doesn't have to do with homeschooling kids, but if the mine or families came to town with more kids, that would be a definite plus.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sarah?
Well, I think part of improving our homeschool program as a district is working on the sort of the cultural aspect of homeschooling and helping those students feel included in our school district. And I definitely see that we've made improvements on that. There's been a lot of, in the past, a lot of stories of, you know, teachers who weren't respectful of parents as homeschoolers, and families that felt, you know, left out or discriminated against because of their personal choice. And the school board has made a very clear decision to, is being very supportive of homeschoolers and supportive of the personal choices of families to educate their children in the best way that they see is, you know, best way for them. And I do think that there's still room to expand our homeschooling program. One way to do that is to make our offerings as enticing or strong as possible. At the beginning of the year, our enrollment was 264.5 students, and that kind of confused me how we could have half a student. But it's because that because many homeschoolers in Haines, some of whom are not necessarily enrolled with the district, are taking classes at in our middle and high school programs, and I suppose elementary school as well, and I think that's a really great way to help our educational community feel more inclusive and inviting to everybody, so that whether or not a family is enrolled in Haines homeschool, they can still take part in some of the great programs that we have going in Haines.
Thank you. Mike?
Well, I think Sarah has really addressed this very well. I don't have anything to add to that.
Okay. All right. So we are getting close to 11 o'clock. So I want to give you each a couple minutes to talk about, say, a closing statement, or talk about, for Mike and Sarah, what's been rewarding or challenging for you being on the school board. And Inez, for you, what you feel like you could contribute as a parent of Haines School students to the school board. Does that make sense? All right. We'll start with Sarah.
Ooh, I knew it was going to be me. I don't really have a closing statement. I guess I have really enjoyed being a part of the school board. I said this earlier, but I feel like our members work well together. We're respectful of one another and able to listen to varying opinions and not take it personally. I also like that there's not a strong political ideology that guides the school board, and I think that's very appropriate. We are all working for our students and to have the best district possible. And there's not a lot of outside politics that play into that, which I really like. And I guess if I would say one frustration is that public decisions move slowly. So to make real change in a district takes more time than I expected. It's not just coming up with a good idea and implementing it a few weeks later. And so it's been a really good experience for me to realize that it takes thoughtful energy and organization and the willingness to really listen to people and include them in order for change to be successful. You don't get to snap your fingers and be the queen of the school. And so that personally has been very rewarding to me to see some of those decisions, some of those ideas move forward and come to fruition.
Thank you. Mike?
Thank you. I appreciate that we've had time to talk today. And I'm glad that I had this opportunity to, first of all, to be appointed to the school board. My year is up, and I have decided that I would like to have to do this as an elected person. And so the opportunity is there to serve the community, and I like that. And I think that that's one of the things that we want to always encourage our kids in school is opportunity to give back. This is certainly one way, but encourage volunteerism through our kids and through the adults in the community to step forward and help our community to grow and be a much better place.
Thank you. Inez?
Well, I'm excited to be involved with hiring the new superintendent. And as I said, I'm a good listener. And if anybody has any concerns, you know, feel free to approach me and talk to me about it.
So your daughter is the student body president.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is the student representative on the school board.
Correct.
How does she feel about the two of you possibly being on the board together?
She seems to be pretty excited about it. And I am too. It'll be a nice way to spend her last year home with her.
Great. Well, I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you to Inez Gross, Sarah Chapel, and Mike Wilson for joining me for this Haines School Board Candidate Forum. The full conversation will be available at khns.org. And remember to vote on October 6th. I'm Emily Files. You're listening to KHNS.
Thank you.
Thank you.